This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which play a central role in helping support optimal immune function. MyCell Immune Plus, Vitamin C 1000 Plus Zinc 15, and Vitamin D3 in a variety of potencies and delivery systems, liquid, chewable, and soft gels. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. I'm your host, Layla Mutin, here on Intelligent Medicine. You can email your questions, topics of interest to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got a couple of really good questions here, and let's just dive right in. This is from Joyce. Joyce writes, "Hi, Layla. Love the podcast and have received so much knowledge. I especially like how when you go through studies, you move slowly and repeat the salient points a couple of times." Thanks, Joyce. You know why I do that? Because if I'm listening to a podcast or something, and I often find that I have to stop, rewind a little bit, and hear the point again if I wanted to jot something down or look it up or think about what was said or like that. So thank you, and thanks for that note. My question is that my husband and I take a great deal of supplements every day, like 55 pills every day, split between morning and daytime after lunch and evening. This seems like a lot. And my husband hears about different supplements and gradually has added them to our daily dose. So how do I know that we're, and Joyce, I'm kind of modifying your email to me to make it appropriate for this podcast. How do I know? If I were to send you things on an Excel spreadsheet, you know, of the supplements we take, could you take a look and see, that's fine, take more of this, remove that, take less of this, or are you crazy? And make these kind of recommendations. Okay. So here's the thing, Joyce, this is a great email. Hence the reason for a nutrition consult. First of all, some basic questions to ask you that maybe you can go with these questions in mind. You and your husband can take a look at your list and say, oh yeah, we don't need that. Or yeah, maybe we need this, or maybe we need more of that. What are your objectives? You know, what is your age range? What are your objectives? Is it health and longevity? Is it anti-aging? Do either of you have high blood pressure? Are you carrying around an extra few pounds that you probably shouldn't? Are you concerned about risk factors as you get older? Do you work out a lot? Do you have arthritic knees? Do you have an exercise program that is more demanding of your energy, your calories, things like that? So with an eye towards that, I mean, it's great. Every time, you know, you could hear a podcast and somebody talks about a supplement or a new supplement or what's beneficial, we keep adding things on and on and on, right? But then you're taking all these pills every day. And you also want to look to see amongst your supplements if there's any overlap. You know, is there any CoQ10 in the healthy blood pressure formula you're taking? That CoQ10 may also be in a I need more energy formula that you're taking. You see what I'm saying? Maybe there's nicotinamide riboside in certain other supplements that you're taking. Maybe you're getting excess vitamin D. You know, there's vitamin D in a multi. There's a separate bone health supplement that's going to contain some vitamin D. Maybe your immune supplement's going to have some vitamin D. Take a look at all that and make sure you're not overdoing it. You and your husband can easily do this. And you know, the best way to know how much vitamin D to take is to have your blood levels checked. That's the way to do it. So you and your husband may be taking the same amount of vitamin D, but do you both need that same dose? I would venture to guess that your doses would vary based on what your blood levels are. As far as anything else that you're taking, are you concerned about nutrient deficiencies? Were you told you had a low B12? Were you told you were anemic? I mean, there are lots of things to look at here. Were you told that you have the MTHFR mutation or SNP, where you need methylated B vitamins like folate, like B12 or something, or that your detox is a little sluggish and maybe you're taking some kind of a detox formula that contains dandelion and burdock, among other things, alpha-lipoic acid. But how do you know how long you should be taking that and for what purpose? You see, there would be lots of questions. It's not just a matter of, I don't know you and your husband at all. I can't just look at a sheet and say, take this, don't take that. And especially amongst so many different supplements. Yes, it may be easy enough to say, let me give you an example. It's easy enough for me to say, take a multivitamin mineral formula and maybe some fish oil, right? Well, again, that may sound innocuous enough. But what if you are somebody who has very high ferritin levels? Maybe you are somebody who has the gene that causes you to store iron irregularly and you're storing too much of it. It's called hemochromatosis. You should then never take a multivitamin mineral formula because that's going to have iron in it and that is not to your benefit. You see how general nutrition advice can be harmful? That's why I don't like to do it. And I said, maybe, you know, general advice from many practitioners for anybody would be take a multivitamin mineral supplement along with some fish oil. Well, who shouldn't take fish oil? Maybe, do you bruise easily? Are you already on blood thinners like Coumadin? Are you taking a Pradaxa, Xarelto? Are you taking any of these blood thinners? Are you on aspirin therapy? That fish oil may push you over the edge. It is possible. It is possible. And that's why general advice like this is not to your benefit. You know, how much vitamin K should somebody take? We have a standard recommendation for most healthy people, but most people aren't healthy, number one. And number two, if you're taking blood thinners, we have to be careful here. We have to take all that into consideration. Should you take something like red yeast rice for your cholesterol? I don't know. What is your liver function? What do your liver enzymes tell me? And not only that, after you've self-prescribed your red yeast rice for your cholesterol, did you know that you need to follow up and have your liver function test looked at again? Oh, and what if you're taking niacin, a high amount of niacin every day for your cholesterol triglycerides? Did you know that your liver function needs to be monitored? I'll tell you right now, another example, and this is an example I've seen many times over in my practice, is a new patient comes in, we're looking at their basic labs, their comprehensive metabolic panel, liver function tests, all of that, and their liver enzymes are high. What's going on? I'm looking through their history, and they're giving me the list of supplements that they've been taking, and I see things like a high-dose niacin or red yeast rice, or they're taking high amounts of vitamin A for immunity. I'm like, how long have you been taking these high doses? Oh, for the past year. Hey, that needs supervision. I know we can get these things over the counter, and that's great, but a lot of this requires some supervision. And that's why I think nutrition consultation is very, very beneficial. You want to make sure you're not getting too much of something, not enough of another thing. And this is where we need to look for deficiencies. How much B12, folate, and B6 and trimethylglycine should you be taking? I don't know. How high is your homocysteine? And what forms of those B vitamins should you be taking? Well, I don't know. Do you have the MTHFR SNP? Single nucleotide polymorphism, do you have that? that mutation in your DNA where you need methylated B vitamins. And wait a minute. Maybe you've been taking those methylated B vitamins and you don't feel well. Suddenly you feel irritable or anxious or emotionally labile, and that was never you before. It could be those methylated B vitamins. Did you know that? You don't know what you don't know. That goes for all of us. We don't know what we don't know. That's why you need to consult with an expert. I think it is laudable that you're looking into new supplements and things for your health and wellness, but you need to know how to take those things, and you need to know for how long you should be taking those things, and you want to make sure you're taking the appropriate dose. The only way to be able to do that intelligently is with a nutrition, a full comprehensive nutrition assessment. Joy, that is such a wonderful question, and you've given me such a teaching moment on this podcast, and I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for this question. Warm regards and good health to you and your husband. I've got another question from Jean. Jean writes, in your podcast from September 4, you highlighted the need for a nutrition consult during annual doctor visits. Yes, I did. I think it should be mandated. Because, as the wonderful proverb says, the patient who does not pay attention to diet is wasting the physician's time. Jean says, it occurred to me that nutrition education should start much earlier, maybe as soon as kindergarten and every couple of years through high school. I agree. I vaguely recall, Jean says, a couple of days of talk about nutrition in high school health ed or home economics. And do they even teach that anymore? Guess what? When I was in high school, they didn't have home ec. And I graduated high school in 1982. I was wondering, Jean is asking, if you were asked to design nutritional curricula for grammar, middle, and high school students, what would you include? Well, that's a great question, Jean, because nutrition does need to be taught, I believe, because food is integral to our health, and it should be taught in health ed. Physical, you know, gym class, physical ed, all very, very important. But we also need to be taught how to eat what we put in our mouths, because children have the ability to then go home and tell their parents about it. Mom, Dad, you know, I learned today that broccoli is really healthy and we don't eat that too much. Why? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? And I'll, you know, this reminds me of during my dietetic internship, one of the rotations I had to do was through, it wasn't a pre-K, but it was a daycare. And it was a very well-established daycare where they fed the kids right and all of that. But every so often, I would hear a kid say when they looked at the salad, you know, we're talking about 3.5-year-olds, 4-year-olds now. Kathy, why don't you want to eat that? My mommy doesn't eat that. My mommy doesn't eat that. I'm not going to eat that. You know, this is where parents need to be doing the right thing, because children don't do as you say, they do as you do. Parents need to be the models first and foremost about the right way to eat and good foods to choose from. And I love that in recent years, Jean, I've been seeing certain public schools, even around in my neighborhood in Queens, they've got gardens, they've got community gardens, they've got vegetable gardens, they're growing produce. And I think this is critically important for children to learn where the food comes from. I think if they could learn that, you know, those raspberries grew here and these carrots grew there, and those radishes grew here, and these are things that you can eat, how they come from the ground, when they could, you know, take the opportunity to do the planting and the watering and the harvesting, and then the cooking of that food, the preparation of that food, to get their hands on it is a great thing. You know, parents, you empower your children when you allow them to come in the kitchen. Yeah, they're going to make a mess, but that's how they learn. Let them help you. Teach them some things. Invite them into the kitchen so that you can, so that they can watch them. They can watch you cook and learn from you. So, Jean, coming back to your question about curricula, I think there should be some sort of nutrition education every year, along with physical education, along with gym class. It doesn't have to be at the same time, obviously, but in health ed, right? When we're learning about, you know, puberty and menstruation and sex ed and all those things, nutrition has a place there in how we grow and develop and in what's important, and that the health, the things, our health, everything in our control starts with what we put in our mouths, what we put in that so-called pie hole, right? So I think nutrition education is important. The food groups, why they're important, some basic things about getting enough potassium, getting enough iron, getting enough vitamins and minerals, the foods that are good for that, rounding it out, making sure you're getting at least five vegetable and fruit servings a day, you know, aim for five, colors a day. You know, what integrative and functional medicine and nutrition teaches, I believe, should be incorporated into school nutrition programs as well. And I think it would be a great opportunity, even in the cafeterias on the lunch lines. I'll tell you something else. Another rotation I did during my dietetic internship, you know, way back, this was 2003, 2004, was Board of Ed. I was put in a local high school, and, you know, we had the other food, like the pizza and the bagels and those things and other hot lunches, but there was also the salad bar, and I'll tell you, nobody was going to the salad bar. I had to kind of show the kids. So, parents, you need to teach your kids how to eat, but you have to be eating that way yourself, right? So all of that starts at home. I think it does have a place in the schools. I think the vegetable gardens that are being grown on school grounds, things of that nature, are very important. I think home ec class should come back. You know, that's something everybody... How to take care of yourself, how to sew and make your own clothes. Why shouldn't you learn that? Because I can go to the store and buy clothes. Of course. Of course. But I also think personal finance should be taught in schools too, starting at a very young age. I think there are a whole lot of things that need to be taught from a very young age, and how to take care of yourself and to grow up and become independent, successful, self-efficient adults. Right? So, nutrition education, basic nutrition, basic ideals in health, what to strive for, how to strive for a healthy weight, the foods to choose to make that happen, eat less frequently these foods, you know. And by the time junior high comes around, high school, sixth, even fifth grade, you know, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, and how these are essential, and what place they have on your plate, and how having some of these every day is important, and the beverages to choose from which are healthier than others. And this also needs to be reflected in any of those school vending machines. You shouldn't have soda machines out there. You know, when I got into the nutrition program, at my college, it was the Hunter College School of Health Sciences. You know, they had ice cream vending machines in our lobby. That was embarrassing. Ice cream vending machines. Really? Really? Yeah, that was a point of embarrassment. And why, when you're trying to raise funds for something, why is it always a bake sale? Why are we bringing brownies and cookies and cakes? Yes, they're all delicious. But come on, we were in the School of Health Sciences. Why was that occurring? Right? So things like that, it needs to be reflected in what is being offered in the cafeterias and the vending machines and all of that. So nutrition education should start early, even starting with those farming practices. Because when kids learn, you know, where it comes from and how to prepare it, they would be interested on a whole other level of, wow, what does this taste like? Instead of looking at a salad and smirking at it. Or saying, my mommy, my daddy, they don't eat that. I'm not going to eat that. So this is a teachable moment for parents too. So Jean, thank you for that very great question. And Joyce, to you too. And again, reminder to all of you to email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That is radioprogram@AOL.com. Thank you for downloading these podcasts. And again, if you'd like to make an appointment, speak to Grimaldi at our office. That's 212-779-1744. Again, 212-779-1744. We're doing in-office visits. We're doing telehealth. I do telephone consultations. I have clients all over the country. So, and I want to thank you again for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.